History Makers with Matt Prater.
Coming off of drugs, you're going to have emotional problems, but I kept chasing after God.
And he's using this vehicle to bring people out of the dark into the light.
And I went forward and I knelt at the front, and it was a radical conversion experience.
And that's where the big change happened, and that's where we decided we're going to use our music for God, we're going to change our songs.
When I was about 25-year-old, I was busted and into jail, and it was there that I came to the Lord.
History Makers with Matt Prater.
And joining me today on History Makers is Pastor Justin Michael Gall. How are you going, Justin?
I am sensational, Steve, because I'm talking to you and I'm not having to mow the grass or do the dishes, so this is great.
Thank you very much. Hey, look, you've got a lot of history in music. You're a pastor, and we'll get into all that. I want to go way back. Let's go way back.
Okay.
It's not too far back for you. Where were you born and raised?
Born and raised. Okay, so born in a town in Gippsland called Warragul.
Warragul, yeah.
Yeah, Warragul in Victoria. The rolling hills, and most of my childhood memories or my teen memories are actually in Currumburra, which is about half an hour over the Strzelecki Ranges. So mum and dad were both primary school teachers around that area, Allenbank, Nearham South, anyway, if you know those areas, many people won't, and they're now using Google Maps to find it. But essentially country boy in sort of the dairy farming heart of Australia with lots of beautiful Italian people that taught me how to cook their fresh-picked produce.
Right. I remember growing up, I lived in Melbourne, but I'd go to Currumburra on the school holidays and spend time with a friend there who lived in Currumburra, on the outskirts of Currumburra, and his dad's brother owned a dairy farm. And Sue would be out on the dairy farm at 5 o'clock in the morning, herding cows, and about knee deep in mud. So
yeah, I think sometimes I say to the boys, you've never really understood milk until you've stood in the milking shed and really just absorbed that air. You know, especially on a wet winter's morning, on a dark wet winter's morning.
Been there, done that. I've got
with
a black cup of
Nescafe in the hand, trying to get the smell of the Nescafe into your nose instead of the other smells that were going on.
The other smells in the milking shed, yes. So, look, I remember it well. I remember my mate, I was about 14 at the time. Look, I'm not a fitness freak. I think everyone probably knows that who knows me. He said, oh, let's go for a run around the block. Well, I didn't know the block was about 6 miles long. But so I learned my lesson not to trust him. So there we go. So you were born and raised in that area, and did you go to school in that area as well, Currumburra, Warragul area?
Yeah, that's right, that's right. Yeah, so I spent my primary years, there was a school that my parents actually helped start and build, physically built it, which is called Cairo Christian School, which is a very, very large multi-campus Christian school now throughout Gippsland. So we were part of building that. Mum and Dad were very passionate about Christian education, Christian music and church life. So you can sort of see a few things started as a young man for me. Mum and Dad in the mid-80s decided to change careers. They sold what they had. They went to Bible college and they became pastors of church plants in the area. And so we moved to in this town called Currumburra, and they started a little church there that is still going to this day, actually, which we're very proud of. And so Currumburra High School from year 7 to 10, and then I did my VCE down the road at Leongatha. But it was in a season where it was just a remarkable season of some of the best music teachers in Australia today were in their first, second, third year out, and they were teaching in our schools. And so I just had some of the most inspirational, incredible people. Ben Northey, who currently conducts the Sydney Symphony and the Melbourne Symphony and other symphonies.
Right.
He was the saxophone sectional teacher at our high school.
Right.
So that kind of quality of person was Sue Arnie was the band director, who she's one of the leaders in music education around Australia today. So when I look back and I think of the sort of the wave of teachers that we were part of, you know, that we caught that wave as young people, and it was just an incredible blessing. Just launched us into this love of music and this love of community that's created through music. It was an incredible season.
Yeah, look, I remember as well going to school, my favourite spot was the music room. Some of my best moments were in there with the drum teacher and the keyboard teacher and whatnot. So that was a lot of fun those days. So you grew up in, obviously, a Christian home. A lot of people have a prodigal son experience. Did you have that, or did you stay strong in your faith?
Look, the short answer is yes, I've stayed strong in my faith. But I've stayed strong in my faith because of the people that I was surrounded by. I always knew that the idea was we were supposed to walk alongside and find people that had good fruit in their lives. And when I look back across my whole history, you know, like anyone, life has beat me silly at times, but I've always looked, I was just so blessed to have people. My mate Craig Anderson, I always give him a shout out, Ando. He was the music guy at our little church in Currumburra. He came to Jesus in his 20s and had a sort of a radical conversion sort of experience. And so he spoke really naturally about, he wasn't religious in the way he talked about his faith. He just spoke very naturally about the change Jesus had made in his life and had a love language, which was music, which was my love language. And so that friendship was really important to me. He was maybe 10 years older than me and just sort of mentored me in the background there. So when I look back, you know, I had those struggles at high school, year 7 and 8. I hid in the library for most lunchtimes and recesses because I was getting terribly bullied for all sorts of reasons. That was my era of learning all of the comics of Tintin and Asterix and Obelix. And potentially, like you, found my tribe when I discovered the music room.
Yeah.
So that combination of finding friends that had great faith and friends that spoke the same love language as me was really what carried me through those years.
So if I'm temporarily mad, but if I am satisfactorily glad, well then can't you see, oh wow, it works for me, huh? So today I'm a fisher of men, and someday soon I'll watch TV till when. Oh, oh yeah, it's not working for me. Ha. So wake me when I'm needed, and I'll take on the world. But right now, though, I'm leaning to trade it in my wisdom for a remote. Take me over, lead me on the way to everlasting, though I often stray. There is no measure that you will not take to take me over. La da da da, la da da da, la da 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 da, la da da da, la da da da, la da da da. So we're all be the best that we can be, living by faith, oh well, not by what we see, yeah. So wake me when I'm needed, and I'll take on the world, and I'll be there when the call comes, when wisdom calls aloud to me, and you, yeah. Take me over, lead me on the way to everlasting, though I often stray. There is no measure that you will not take to take me over. La da da da, la da da da, la da da da. So wake me when I'm needed, and I'll take on the world, and I'll be there when the call comes, when wisdom calls aloud to me, and you, and you, and you, yeah. You take me over, lead me on the way to everlasting, though I often stray. La da da da, la da 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 da.
And joining me today on History Makers is Pastor Justin Michael Gohl. Moving on from your school years and growing up, you left school eventually.
They kicked me out.
You graduated, and what did you do when you first left school?
Oh, my goodness. Well, the first job I had was actually at Coal Creek Historical Village in Currumburra, and I worked in the cordial factory. And I worked in the cordial factory. At that time, it was a historical park that was like the little, you know, just 14 times removed cousin of Sovereign Hill in Ballarat. If you know Sovereign Hill, it's the professional one. This was like the toy one. It's much improved now. But we would dress up in ye olde clothing, and I would serve Peter's ice cream to kids walking through and pretend that I knew what the historical bottles and things on the shelves were. At one point, they even made me take tours of the little coal mine cutaway that they had there, and I made up all sorts of answers. Kids, this was before ChatGPT and Google, so I didn't know what I was talking about. It was good fun. So that was my first job. But when I moved to Melbourne for uni, I got into a music degree, a Bachelor of Music degree, and I worked with young adults with intellectual and physical disabilities. That was fantastic. I loved that job, and that really set the tone of a lot of what I did in the future as well.
Somewhere along the line, I used to drive trucks back in the day. Driving around the streets of Geelong and from Melbourne to Geelong every day, and I'd tune into a Christian radio station in Geelong, and I'd hear this guy, Justin Michael, on the radio, on the Brekkie show.
Right.
He's going back a few years.
Wow.
Now, how did that happen?
I am a big believer. My whole life is based on the premise of be in the room and say yes. So when people talk to me about how do you hear God's voice, how do you take the next step, whether it's a metaphor of spiritually being in the room, you know, making sure you're in the Word and hearing the voice of God, but surrounding yourself with people of good fruit and people that encourage you is important. Not always possible, but where you can do that. I came to Geelong and I wanted to work in the disability sector in Geelong. I came here because I married Jodie, and she was working in Geelong. She won. I moved from Melbourne to Geelong for her. Haven't moved since. But they needed some different certificates and things that I didn't have, and so I started looking around for other things to do at the time. I must have known the radio station because some of the Gus stuff was played on that radio station at the time. I think I went in for an interview, and the Brekkie host at the time said, you know, could we make that a regular thing? I started volunteering at the radio station, and eventually the Brekkie host left and they said, could you do it? That was literally it. And I went, sure. I said, you know when you say yes and you don't really know what you're saying yes to? Yeah.
Yeah, like getting up at 3 a.m. every morning.
Well, you don't have to be crazy, but it helps. But yeah, it was essentially that. And they stuck me in front of this microphone one morning and said, there you go, do breakfast radio. I think my talk breaks were about 17 minutes long. I had a CD player, a mini disc player. There was a cart. If anyone remembers carts, like those little 8-track carts, whatever they were, there was three different types of ways to play audio. There was an IBM computer that was running OS2 Warp, if anyone remembers OS2 Warp. And you had to boot it up, and halfway through the boot up in the morning at 6 o'clock, you had to push in this 3.5-inch floppy, which would then change the direction of the program. It was just nuts. So basically, over time and listening to people, I realized people actually wanted a quick joke and a bit of an update and play us some music and get us to work on time. So yeah, that was a fantastic experience, but literally was in the room and said yes. That's how that worked.
Oh, there you go. So you were talking about Gus.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Gus. Compliments of Gus. Well, thank you, Gus, because you were known as Gus, and the band came compliments of you. So that's where the name came from, I do believe.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, so the name was the band came about again, talking about the be in the room and say yes. We had a friend at university. We were part of a group called Students for Christ. At university, and we would meet every week and essentially put on a little church service for ourselves. And it was just an ecumenical gathering of different people from all different church backgrounds, but with a Christian faith. And so we'd sing together and study the Word together. And his big dream was to run a Christian nightclub. The idea being of, you know, how do you create a healthy atmosphere with electronica, which at the time electronica was sweeping the world. And it was an interesting phase in CCM because not a lot of people knew how to make CCM that was electronica, because a lot of electronica doesn't have any words and so on and so forth. So it was an interesting season. So that was his big dream. Anyway, he put this event together and put a lot of work into it. And the band that was supposed to play dropped out the week of the event. So it was going to be a DJ plus a live band. And he rang me because I just said to him, if you ever need help, give us a call. He rang me and said, dude, need help, you know, through the hands up in the air, needed help. So myself and Jared Hashik, who were the core of Confluence of Gus songwriting, we were in that Students for Christ group. And I said to him, do you want to throw something together? So literally we grabbed a drummer from his old band named Matt Young, who then of course went on to be the drummer in Gus, and another mate of ours that played bass. We got together, I think, twice in that time. We learnt some U2, some Jamiroquai, some Stevie Wonder, some we just went all over the map. Some I think we played some Split Ends. I don't even know. it was just a crazy collection. We played some DC Talk, some Newsboys. We just threw this set of sort of 15 songs together. And the same week the guy rang me back a couple of days later and said, look, we've got to print the. So it must have been a couple of weeks out from the gig actually in the end. Must have been, because he printed some flyers and he said, that was back in the day where you had to print flyers to let people know what was on.
Yes.
And he said, what's the name of your band? And I said, well, we don't have one. And it didn't matter what the band was called because it was just a one-off. There was a pad by the side of my phone that that said compliments of your army officers, which was from the careers day at school. And so every page had compliments of your army officer or something like that on the top of it. And so I said, oh, compliments of something sounds good. And Jared was there and he yelled out Gus because that was my nickname. The band was called Compliments of Gus for one night and then for 17 years thereafter.
Yeah, there you go. So again, you sort of fell into that.
Yeah.
In a way, it just happened. And look, I've been in bands all my life, and getting something together within 2 weeks and a gig and having the band gel like that within 2 weeks is pretty good.
Yeah, and we had an absolute ball. And honestly, that was why the band kept going, because we said, we like this. This was fun. And then Jared sort of said, I like to write songs. I said, I like to write songs too. I'd written a couple for myself and use them in different spaces. And so, yeah, a year later, we were in a recording studio making our little EP, which was called Watch, which came out in, I think it was December 97, four or five songs on that. And within that time, another friend of ours had gotten into electronica and did a remix. And he went on to, great fame, really, as a producer of electronica as well around the world. So, again, this unique timing. And that's where I think that God timing of just if you're with people, grapefruit, all of those things all comes together. It's fun.
Love. I need your love.
And joining me today on History Makers is Pastor Justin Michael Gall. So tell me about the names. So many different names. There's Gus and there's compliments of Gus. Well, we explained that one okay. There's Justin Michael and there's Justin Michael Gall. So there's you've got many aliases.
Yeah, and it wasn't on purpose. It was really just, and this is a bit hard to explain because in the early 2000s, before Spotify, before having to be on YouTube, before having to be a muso, you just made a CD. And I remember at the time feeling a strong conviction that I needed to draw a line between the church work that I was doing as a pastor and the performance work I was doing as a musician. Yeah. And I felt that for a few reasons. I'm not sure that it's, looking back, I think maybe I didn't have to. Maybe people didn't care as much as I thought. But I really wanted to make sure people knew that when I was ministering in church, I was very present. It wasn't about the music performance, and I wouldn't talk about my music stuff. I wouldn't sell my CDs at church or do anything like that. I just tried to keep them very separate, almost in an attempt to make sure people understood the purity of what gathering as a church was about. And maybe I took that too seriously as a young man, but that was the reason. So my name is Justin Michael Gall. And so when I started to do solo music, I did an EP and then an album. I used my middle name and just went with Justin Michael. And that just for me at least locked in that idea that these two things they do feed one another. But I wanted the church to not be distracted by that was kind of the heart behind that. And then as I went along, I realized actually, I think people are okay with just the whole of who I am. Mm. And so basically my YouTube channel, which I don't put much on, but is Justin Michael Gall. My Insta is Justin Michael Gall, everything. So there was this season in my life where I realized I was actually tying myself up in knots, trying to almost please these two or three different parts of my life and almost pleasing none, because I was too worried about maybe what I thought people thought. You know that feeling? I think people think this. And it turns out most people don't care at all. They just want to see the fruit in your life. And so the last few songs I've released have actually been the Justin Michael Gall appears as the name, as the songwriter, et cetera, et cetera. And that's become another really important thing to me as I move into my late 40s now, and just to think, well, this is who I am. This is how God's made me. I think this music matters. I think what I'm trying to say with my music matters. And so, I've been Gus since I was 10. I've been in a, band. The band started when I was 17. And I've just continued on, and it's been an interesting thing that almost like the wrestle of how people should know me has actually come back and reflected internally for me, and it's become this full circle of, all right, here's all of me, everybody. Good luck.
That's great stuff. Well, Gus, Pastor Justin Michael Gall, thank you for joining us today on History Makers. Nate, I think you're a history maker.
It's a real honour to talk to you, mate, and thank you so much for caring enough to find out what's going on.
If you'd like to hear this conversation again, listen online anytime at historymakersradio.com. There you'll also find links to all of our social media channels, and you can subscribe to our iTunes podcast. History Makers is a faith-based ministry, and we want to thank everyone for their generous support. If you've got a suggestion of anyone we should interview, send us an email, info@historymakersradio.com. God bless. I'm Matt Prater, and my challenge to you now is to go and make history.